a different person outside, but she was the same miserable person inside. I knew she had a temper. I knew she was just horrible. But then, you know, we would go to the Kingdom Hall and she was like this whole different person. So it was this traumatic experience. It was horrible.
Hello and welcome to Pissy But Pretty, a show about hindsight, hope, tangents, and cuss words. We are your hosts, Party Tricks Turned Semi-Responsible Women. I am your host, Heather Cairns.
And Emily Baggin.
Pissy But Pretty, episode dose. Thanks for staying with us, and I'm glad that you came back. We needed it. Thank you for still being here after listening to the first episode.
The first episode was epic and it was amazing, and I'm surprised they're not here.
Right. Again, I'm your host, Heather Cairns.
Emily Baggin.
And in this one, we are... What aren't you allowed to do?
Nothing.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to say it.
This one, we are talking about childhood and religion.
Yeah.
Which we go deep, so it might spill over into... Oh, I said that.
We go deep.
Ew.
It's okay.
So it might spill over. It might spill over into episode 3.
It could. It might. Could. There's a lot going on in the childhood. There's a lot going on with religion.
Yeah.
But again, as far as religion is concerned, this is our experience with that religion.
100%.
Not going to debate, not going to, you know, try to do.
We are not putting any religion down. That's a good PSA. We are just telling you our experience. If it happens to be unfavorable in a certain religion, maybe it's us.
Here's a
quarter. We're not saying it's not.
Go to the city and talk to somebody who cares.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. You don't even like the city.
I don't. I don't go east of Brookfield.
It's crazy.
Pretty much it.
All right.
Okay.
So childhood and religion.
Childhood and religion. Childhood was where it all started, obviously, for us.
Well, we have to be born.
We have to be born. I was born.
Nope, don't say it.
Nope.
You were going to quote the movie The Jerk with Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
Can't quote it.
Nope.
Can't quote it.
Nope.
I remember very little about my childhood.
That's insane to me.
I remember very little. I remember a lot of dark things going on, dark things happening.
Hate that.
Kind of being... The opposite, I would imagine, of your family dynamic, perpetually lonely. I was obviously born in the 70s and then raised 80s and 90s when mental health was not a thing.
Was not a thing.
So I started having panic attacks.
Mental health was a thing. How to address it wasn't a thing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It was just I was a handful because I never felt good. I always was panicking. I had anxiety. People scared me. Leaving my mom scared me. It was awful. So yeah, there was that.
I can't picture being lonely. Mm. And what's funny is I was just talking about this with my mom yesterday. We don't do anything by ourselves in my family.
Never. No.
Like there's so many of us. Yeah. I'm the oldest out of five.
Mm-hmm.
And you have seven people in one house.
Oh.
For a long time, we shared one bathroom. So I
Did
shared a bed with—
Did your dad have soap on a rope?
Why would he have soap on a rope?
My dad had soap on a rope, and we all used it.
I don't think that's right.
Anyway, seven people.
Seven people.
There were four.
Yeah.
I just had four. Mom, dad, my sister that was 5 years older, and we had nothing in common.
She
hated me from the second I came into
this
world.
You and your sister.
Yeah.
Well, she's a ginger. Sometimes they're angry.
Mm, she's, yeah, yeah. No soul. She has
no
soul.
Cracks me up, though, your sister. I love her.
Absolutely.
As do you.
As do I.
But you guys have more in common now. I feel like you have a lot in common.
Yeah. We didn't get close until later.
Yeah.
Much later.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. Mm. So being one out of seven, two in my house, like, We always had so much going on. There was so much chaos. Mm. I shared a bed with my sister until I was 15 years old when my parents could afford. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. So when she started working, she went back to school when the youngest in my family went to school and became a nurse. And so then they could afford to build a house.
Right.
And I didn't have to share a bed with my sister anymore. But it was weird. Like, I'll tell you, we all got our own rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And especially my younger siblings weren't used to it. So
right.
they would sneak off and still sleep. It was strange. So feeling yeah. lonely, I would have liked a little time to myself. My God, that wasn't a thing in my house.
Right. Yeah, it was. And we didn't do things. It wasn't like, oh, let's go on vacation every year. It was a joke in my family that we went on vacation like once every 8 years. My family watched TV. And this is what we did. We watched movies. So I was raised on movies. And like, still at 45 years old, the majority of things that come out of my mouth are quotes from movies.
That's one thing I love about you.
Fucking hilarious.
You
but
are.
Because it's funny and whatever, but there are times that I'm like, okay, have you had something original come out between your soup coolers at all today?
Soup coolers. I also love it when you say that.
Yeah.
You have a lot of substance to you.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I'm deep.
You are. You go deep.
Yeah. So the sister, redhead, she was the performer. She was kind of the took up all of the oxygen in the room.
Mm.
Very outgoing, very flamboyant, just
no
bigger than life. There was no space for me. And
you
it was just kind of that joke
mosquito.
That, yeah, this is Amy and this is Amy's sister. I never really had a name so much. So it was, yeah, it was in the shadow.
Did you choose yours?
I would not have chosen Emily.
Oh.
Not at all.
Okay.
Because in crowds, when you're like, Emily, Emily, they're like, all right, Kevin, go sit down. And it's like, all right, you didn't hear me. Nobody knows my name.
Better than Karen.
Karen?
These days.
It could be.
Mm.
Deborah. Anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, it was kind of always a joke that I was the crap leftover from my sister. Not really a joke necessarily for me, but that was kind of what she called me as we got older. You're like, yeah, you were just the crap leftover. I was like, kinda. That's just sort of how it was.
Your parents didn't make you feel any different.
Mm-mm.
That's so sad.
No, it was a strange, strange sort of vanilla existence. Yeah. We were just kind of going through the motions. My mom was always very volatile, had a temper, that sort of thing. So it was always sort of, as long as she was okay, everything was good in the house. Yeah, yeah.
And
my dad
wasn't.
Was very chill. So it was.
Well, because can you imagine if both of your parents were?
Yeah.
And if she wasn't okay, then what? There was hell to pay.
There was hell to pay. It was loud. It was loud. We would just sort of disappear and be like, okay, well, whatever we can do. And my dad would just sort of do whatever he could to just sort of calm the beast kind of thing. She was always very unhappy, very unfulfilled.
Had her own mental health.
Had her own mental health problems. Of course, you know, boomers, they just do. And you mm-hmm. don't deal with your problems.
Right.
You don't deal with what's going on in your brain back in the day. They just didn't do that.
Right.
So my dad's dad died when my dad was 14. So he was very mature from a very young age and took care of her.
Yeah.
He had always taken care of her. That was just the thing.
Yeah.
So I kind of was born, they said, because my sister needed something to do. She was too much and she needed something to do. She needed something to play with.
You were her pretty little pet?
I was the pretty little pet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Now you can get paid for that.
You should have been paid for that.
Should have been paid for my little pot. Yeah. So that was that. That was.
Well, in my house, I was also the problem.
We are still the problem.
Still the problem.
And that's why we're here. Talking
and
about our problems.
To share it with the rest of the problems of the world.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was too much. I was the oldest. I don't know, like, if you would say I, looking back, like, maybe I had some hyper stuff, or was it because I was trying to stand out, trying to get some attention. When you got five kids.
Yeah. You have to do something pretty extreme in order for your parents to even notice that you're there.
Right. And I remember, you know, just trying. There's my sister that's a year younger than me. She was the goody two shoes. Very smart. Got the good grades.
Yeah.
I stood out because I was a complete opposite of her. Mm-hmm. I stood out as the funny one, as the one that would get in trouble.
Right.
And some, like, you know how you just fall into a role, right?
Of course.
Like,
yeah,
every family, everybody falls into their role.
Everyone's got their niche.
And that was just my role. And sometimes I loved it because then you don't expect too much from
me. Right.
Which also goes into our partying days. Like, oh, Heather was crazy again last night and she's hungover today. Good. Then you don't expect too much from me.
You really don't.
If that's what you think. Mm-hmm. But sometimes having a serious thought or an idea or wanting to be taken seriously never happened.
No, ma'am.
No.
You shut your mouth.
The lack of respect was.
Always.
Yes.
The black sheep doesn't get that respect.
They actually called me the black egg. Black sheep, bad egg.
That's horrible. Mm-hmm. Is that worse than the crap left over?
Maybe so.
I don't know.
I do say I did teach my siblings what not to do. They have often told me that.
Yeah.
But I think always being treated as the one that was in trouble. I mean, sometimes was it deserved? Absolutely. But everything was always my fault.
Yeah.
Everything was, ugh, we got to go deal with Heather again. My sister has even admitted to purposely getting me in trouble because she could make herself cry.
Yeah.
I wasn't a crier.
No.
Still am not
still
a crier.
Aren't. Gross. Please don't.
Ew. I have an ugly cry face.
Well.
And so, just like.
Yeah.
Like that was me. And I don't know if it was any attention is good attention kind of thing, even if it's bad. But I sure did have a lot of fun.
You did.
My family was close.
That's
good. We still are close, very close.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still, like, I feel like there's still some proving I need to do. Like,
always.
I am not
always
that person anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time we
partied? But you still. I don't know.
My face couldn't take it if we partied.
I broke my thumb. Yeah. Totally broke my
face.
Yeah, broke your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remind me of sort of the conversations now that I have with my sister that's 5 years older. And just she felt like she was always to blame. She was the scapegoat. I was the perfect one. And it's interesting to hear those dynamics between the two of us.
Yeah.
Because that is not my experience at all. And I'm sure if you talk to all four of your siblings, they had a very different upbringing.
Very different
interpretation of your mom and dad. And I think that's so important. Something that I'm still learning is sort of that, okay, there is a different perspective here. It wasn't dark.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as dark as I thought it was. Mm-hmm. But that's going to take a long time for me to get through and get over. Because for me, like I said, it was perpetually lonely.
Yeah.
They thought that the stomach aches and the problems, the mental illness problems I was having was I needed attention. Emily's got a stomach ache again. She's just being ridiculous. And it was
drama.
Like, fuck that.
That's what my family
wasn't what
still
that was.
To this day.
Yeah.
I'll be like, do you remember when this happened? And they'll be like, oh, Heather, you're being dramatic again.
Right.
And it's like, just because you don't remember it, I remember it.
Yeah.
And I remember always being the one in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I often tell my sister Hillary, I wish I had a relationship with my dad like Hillary did.
Yeah.
They were very close. When she moved home from college and moved back in, they called each other roomies.
That's adorable.
And like, I didn't have that. My dad and I were very much alike. We were both jokesters.
Yeah.
But we also would get in these epic screaming matches.
Yeah.
And because we both needed the last word at all times, they were never ending screaming matches.
Of course.
And, but then, like literally just last week when we were cleaning out my mom's condo, she's, if you didn't catch it in the first episode, she's dealing with brain cancer right now. We just moved her into a nursing home. But My sisters just found out, or found in going through her stuff, a letter that my dad had written me.
Aww.
And now my dad passed away. Me. My dad passed away 13 years ago from ALS.
Yeah.
And I still haven't brought myself to read it.
Really?
But yeah. And my sisters, I said, like, when they, don't. I'm scared of what's in it.
Oh my God.
No, but my sisters are like, you need this. And I'm like, why is it talking about how I'm a big disappointment? And for some odd reason, even though I went about it in all the wrong ways, I wanted that man to be proud of me.
100%.
To get his approval and to make him proud was so important to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was so unattainable to me, or I felt that way.
Of course.
That I just didn't. And I went to the
opposite extreme.
Yeah. So they're like, nope, you need to read this, Heather. He actually was proud of you.
And I love that. About,
like, when you moved out, like, and it's 2-page letter.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I still, it's, I,
that's amazing.
One day, maybe by next time I'll read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still haven't read it yet.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What about religion? I mean, I know that your parents were religious. My experience with it when I was about like 10, 11 years old, Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door. And my mother, who was miserable and looking for something and would disappear to live with her friends because we just didn't respect her.
She disappeared to live with her friends.
Oh, sure.
So I'm coming over.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, she did. She would go live with her friends because, you know, my dad wasn't enough. We didn't respect her enough, sort of thing. So the witnesses came to the door.
That's kind of crazy as a child. Like, where's mom? Off at Betty's.
Oh, Betty Nugs. So yeah, she would leave. But she was looking for something. The witnesses came to the door and all of a sudden.
That was her thing.
That was her thing. It seemed overnight we went from this way. My parents were hippies. They smoked weed. They were artists. They were painters and that kind of thing, which I thought was cool. I thought that was kind of cool. We did a lot of social things that way. Occasionally, at least what I thought was a lot of social things. Anyway, but yeah, once she became a Jehovah's Witness, it was a 180 because she went full bore. We have to change everything. And either you do it or you're losing me. So it was
you're this crazy hippie person. And how you can then go to one of the strictest religions there is.
Right. And to the extreme.
Being a free spirit. And she went in.
Yeah. She went in. She went in.
Immersed herself.
It was heavy. It was very heavy. It was never, to this day, I don't think it was something my dad ever wanted to do. He read every book that the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society ever put out over like 5 years and then, you know, finally kind of resigned himself to that fact. My mom was then a different person outside, but she was the same miserable person inside. I knew she had a temper. I knew she was just horrible. But then, you know, we would go to the Kingdom Hall and she was like this whole different person. So it was this traumatic experience. It was horrible. It was a traumatic experience. I could talk about this for days and days and days and days and probably never have somebody feel how awful it was during that time to figure out who we were, what we were supposed to do for her because she was miserable, found something that was amazing, completely without us. And then, like I said, it was kind of, she gave us this ultimatum, like, well, either you're going to do this with me or you're against me.
Well, and kids, consistency, right? Like kids always want consistency.
Every single holiday.
Swept from underneath
gone.
You.
Yes. Every holiday was gone. And we did big. We did Christmases big. We didn't have a huge family, but I remember every Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving, and it stopped. And her reasoning to me, which I found later, much later in my adult life, her reasoning was our family turned their back on us. The majority of our family are Catholic, and she said they turned their backs on us. And you're going to find that, Emily. That's going to happen throughout your life because you have the true religion. So people are going to be mad at you. And I thought all of my cousins, all of my aunts and uncles, my grandpa and grandma, I thought they just left.
And funny, oddly enough, I know your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I do her hair. So we have had a long time to sit there because she's got three heads worth of hair.
She's very hairy. You are. She's very hairy.
Well, and that is the complete opposite of the truth.
It was probably within the last 5 years that I learned from my cousins. We've started getting back together again. That was not the case. It was my mom taking us and turning our back on them.
Because I remember her saying how pissed she was for you back then.
The anger is awful. These are, like I said, they're fairly new wounds. It's gnarly to go from, like I said, hippies, free spirits, to a very borderline cult sort of a situation. Yeah. You're not allowed to communicate with anybody outside of that religion. That's what I was told. So, and then it's a religion, unfortunately, where my fucking ass did not fit in. I wasn't built for that.
No. To fit in?
No.
We don't. We're square pegs.
In a round hole. Butthole.
I knew you were going to say that.
Of course I did. 180.
180.
It was a 180. It was a traumatic experience, something I didn't realize was as traumatic again until I quit drinking.
And started going to therapy and finding it. Yeah.
Because surprisingly, the Jehovah's Witnesses that I was around introduced me to alcohol, introduced me to this, to that, to the other thing.
Isn't that funny?
I know. All of these things that we're not supposed to do, that you're never supposed to be around. You're not even supposed to hold hands before you get married and bullshit like that.
Didn't you all like work together too and stuff?
Basically, yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah. A lot of them did. A lot of them did. Women were in subjection, so.
What's that mean?
You're in subjection to your husband. So he goes to work and you are the stay-at-home mom and you go knocking on doors. That was your job. So, yeah.
Everyone loves it when you knock on their door. I do if you have cookies.
I never had cookies. I had
the word of Jehovah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Watchtower and Awake is what they were called. Mm-hmm. So uncomfortable. So uncomfortable knocking on strangers' doors. Nowadays, you'll get your ass shot.
Right.
You can't be knocking on doors like that. I don't even know if they do it anymore, honestly. I don't know. But, you know, like I said, they felt like they had the true religion, just a superiority.
Why do the men not believe in long sleeve white shirts? I feel like whenever
the Mormons.
I see, is it? Every time I see them walking around, they're all in short sleeve white shirts, black ties, black slacks.
That's Mormon.
They don't go knocking on doors.
Yeah.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. They do.
Okay.
All right.
Mormons do?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of Mormons in Wisconsin that I know of. At least they haven't knocked on my door.
I don't know.
Oh.
I've seen Mormons.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my religious experience we'll talk about in the next episode. Not nearly as gnarly as yours.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I love that you just weren't used to the word gnarly.
I think you must have rubbed off on me. Yeah. You use that word. Anyways, to be continued.
Yeah.
We will come back to episode 3 where we will get into my religious experience and
deeper delves into the Jehovah's Witnesses and
everything that you've gone through.
Out of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Stay tuned. Peace.
Thanks for letting us tickle your ear hole and not turning us off after the first 30 seconds. Don't forget to subscribe and join our email list to get in on the action.